24. And with that, I would like to call the meeting to order and move on to item 2, Pledge of Allegiance. Would you all please rise, place your hand over your heart, and join me, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I have a few announcements to make as we get started. Number one, Director Armitage will be participating remotely per Government Code Section 54953F2I, parentheses AB 2449, under the just cause exception. Per AB 2449, each attendee who participates remotely shall publicly disclose at the meeting before any action is taken whether any other individuals 18 years of age or older are present in the room at the remote location with the member and the general nature of the member's relationship with any such individuals. Director Armitage, if you are on the line, would you please let us know if there's anyone in the room with you?
There is not anyone in the room with me.
Thank you, Director Armitage.
Thank you.
Continue with our announcements for tonight's meeting. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant Boardroom. As a convenience to the public, members of the public may also participate virtually by logging into the agency Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen to the meeting or make comments to the board using the call-in number or a Zoom webinar link. Because a board member is participating remotely pursuant to AB 2449, in the event there is a disruption of service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public using either the call-in option or internet-based service, no action will be taken until the disruption is resolved. Looking for members of the public. I'm not sure if there's any member of the public present. If there are, there are public comment cards in the lobby. If you could fill those out to help facilitate the public comment process. Procedures for tonight's meeting are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item. Staff will present. I will ask for public comments. I will then ask for discussion and questions from board members. Please raise your hand if you don't mind. Once concluded, I will ask for a motion and a second. After any further discussion, the board secretary will call for roll call votes. All directors are present, including Director Colley. And for the and Director Armistice, which is participating remotely, and Director Vice President Gutzeit is running a few minutes late, but will join us in progress. With that, we will continue to move on to item 3, public comments. Members of the public may comment as to items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the agency that are not on the agenda at this time. We ask that members of the public wishing to comment on items that are listed on this agenda do so at the time each item is considered. Are there any members of the public online who wish to make public comment at this time?
There is not.
Thank you very much. We move to approval of the agenda. Are there any changes, additions, or modifications to the agenda by the board members? Seeing none, the agenda is hereby approved. And with that, we can then move on to item 5, consent calendar. There are 2 items on the consent calendar tonight. Is there any public comment before we discuss this item?
There is not.
Thank you very much. I would entertain a motion for approval of the consent calendar. Motion by Director Cooper.
I'll second.
Second by Vice President Ozahosky. Any other discussion? Was there any public comment on the consent calendar?
There is not.
Very good. Please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Vice President Ozahosky.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
The consent calendar is approved.
All right. Vice President Gutzeit is joining us now. As we move on to item six, action items for approval. Item 6.1, approve the third amendment to the deposit and funding agreement between the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency and DACA-Castaic LLC for Tapia Ranch and presented by Mr. Rick Vassilopoulos. Rick, proceed with your presentation.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, President Martin, and good evening, directors. I am here tonight to discuss a potential for a third amendment for our deposit and funding agreement for the Tapia Ranch project. The developer of the project has recently requested this extension due to their CEQA certification being delayed. Next slide. So here's just a little history of the Tapia Ranch development. In 2006, CLWA certified the environmental impact report for our BVRRB water, which allowed for 750 acre feet that was earmarked for the Tapia project at that time. In 2007, the developer was notified that BVRRB water would not be available, but then in a new analysis that was done for the 2015 urban plan, this showed that water would be available for the project. And then in 2017, the original deposit and funding agreement between DACA Castaic and CLWA was approved and made 489 acre feet per year available of our BVRRB water. In 2019, then the developer requested an extension to the agreement and a deferment of the past carrying costs until December of 2021. This was approved as the first amendment. In 2021, the developer requested another extension due to delays in the preparation of their CEQA documentation, and the SCV Water Board approved the second amendment, which also required a $1 million pay down of the past carrying costs and continue payments of current carrying costs, interest on the unpaid balance of the past carrying costs, and an option payment. This amendment ran through December of last year. And that's where we are now with another request for an additional extension from the developer. Next slide. So in accordance with the payment schedule from the first amendment, the developer has paid almost $2 million or had paid almost $2 million in interest payments, option payments, and annual carrying costs through February of 2021. Next slide. And in accordance with the payment schedule for the second amendment, the developer has now paid almost $4.5 million, including a $1 million pay down of the past carrying costs. Next slide. So on November 20th of last year, staff received a formal request for an additional extension of the deposit and funding agreement from the developer, citing that their EIR certification requirement could not be met due to the complexity of the project and having to replace not one, but two EIR consultants, as well as increased review times by LA County. The developer is currently requesting the extension go through December of 2025, with final payments of the past carrying costs being due by December of this year and finalization of the CEQA certifications by December of next year. Next slide. So if we are to extend the payment plan, it would look something like this. If the interest payment percentage stays the same, the option payment would increase from $150,000 to $200,000 and would be removed from the equation once the final past carrying cost payment is made. The developer would pay around $800,000 for past carrying costs, interest, annual carrying costs, and the option payment by the end of this month. There would also be a required $1 million partial payment of the past acquisition and carrying costs due at the same time, with the balance of the past carrying costs due by the end of this year. This payment schedule does align with the developer's request. All said, the developer would pay a total of almost $8 million through the end of this year and would then continue to pay the annual carrying costs directly to SCV Water until a standby charge is adopted to place these charges on the county tax roll. Next slide. So on December 13th, 2023, the Water Resources Committee considered three options as it related to extending the agreement for a third time. Option one would be to take no action, and since the developer did not pay the almost $3 million owed or complete their CEQA by the end of last year, SCV Water has the right to terminate the agreement. This would end up costing the agency approximately $500,000 per year, as we would no longer be collecting the annual carrying costs from the developer for that portion of the BVR water that they're paying for. Option two would be to amend the agreement and extend it through 2025 with a required $1 million pay down the past carrying costs due early this year, with the balance due by the end of the year. The developer would be required to continue making payments for current carrying costs and option payments, as well as interest payments on unpaid past carrying costs, and would need to complete their CEQA certification by the end of 2025. Option three would be to amend the agreement with additional or alternate terms to satisfy the board of directors. Next slide. Next slide, April. Thank you. So it's staff's recommendation that the board of directors authorize the general manager to execute a third amendment to the deposit and funding agreement with DACA Castaic LLC using the terms from option two, amend the deposit and funding agreement through 2025, requiring a $1 million pay down of the past carrying costs, final payment of all carrying costs due by December of this year, and the continued payments of interest on unpaid past carrying costs, current annual carrying costs, and option payments with the CEQA certification required by the end of 2025. And I can take any questions that anyone has.
Thank you, Rick, for your presentation. Madam Secretary, do we have any members of the public who wish to comment on this before we open up for more discussion?
We do not.
Very good. Then we can entertain questions, discussion from the board, and possible motion. Director Cooper.
Rick, I'm assuming that this would continue to be non-refundable, anything that they've paid?
Yep. None of it's, they know full and well that that none of this is refundable to them.
And it saves us $500,000 a year that we would normally have to pay as our cost of the water.
Correct. That's this year's cost. It's around $1,000. It's a little over $1,000 an acre foot this year in that general range, but it has been going up steadily. So that number, that $500,000, will increase over time, I believe, as well.
Good. I would so move staff recommendation.
All right. We have a motion. Let's continue the discussion. Vice President Gutzak.
Quick question. Thank you for mentioning the potential conversion of this to a standby charge. At what point does that happen? And what if that doesn't happen?
So similar to the Tesoro project, once the annexation is complete, we have to file with the county. And then that process takes, so really anytime after the annexation agreement is completed is when that standby charge technically should start, or at least the process of getting that standby charge started would start right after the annexation is completed. It takes a little time to get that done. And then in the past, at least for the Tesoro project, that standby charge was removed from homeowners once the homes start being built, but we don't know that that will be the case for this project.
Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion? I would Vice President Ozaski.
Yeah, this was reviewed at the Water Resources and Watershed Committee meeting, and I second the motion to approve the Third Amendment.
All right. We have a motion and a second.
President Martin, Director Armitage has her hand.
Oh, I'm sorry, Director Armitage.
That's okay. Thank you.
Please go ahead.
I know you can't see my little hand go up, so thanks, April.
Hiding in the shadows.
Yeah, I know. I don't have good lighting. Sorry. So first of all, thank you for the presentation, Mr. Vassilopoulos. And I want to say thank you to Dr. Al-Hassan for answering the questions that I had earlier today. It took me a while to figure out that the reason we have this type of agreement is because of the annexation. And I feel like trying to piece all that together kind of historically, I appreciated your visual timeline to help me with that as well. So I feel like I need to do a little bit more learning around that, but at least that piece was filled in for me today. I would just say that I agree with the sentiment that by not extending this agreement, we are putting ourselves at risk for collecting those carrying costs, which would be unfortunate. So I agree, and I'm supportive of this as well. The one piece I haven't figured out is, why is the CEQA certification part of this agreement? Because isn't it it's a given. They're going to have to get CETA certification anyways, regardless of that. So why was it put into this agreement is what I'm trying to still figure out.
So I believe it's in our annexation policy. It's a very small section, but it's a legal requirement for them to, you're right, it's a legal requirement for them to have this CEQA certification done before it can go to LAFCO, before it can be annexed in. I think it was just more of a language to enforce that they know that this has to happen for them to move forward.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
That answer your question, Director Armitage?
Yes, it did. Thanks.
Very good. Thank you. All right. Unless there's any further discussion, we do have a motion and a second. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Vice President Kutzeit.
Yes.
Vice President Ozaski.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. This item does pass.
Very good. Thank you, Board. Thank you, staff. Let's move to item 6.2, approve a revision to the Board of Directors' policies and procedures regarding general manager authority to grant easements and accept and acquire real property and finding an exempt from CEQA Guidelines Section 15378B5 and alternatively CEQA Guidelines Section 15061B3 our presenter tonight is our legal counsel, Mr. Joe Byrne.
Thank you, President Martin. This, I think, is a very straightforward question for the board. Back in August of 2023, the purchasing policy was amended to increase the general manager's authority from $100,000 to $150,000. I spent a lot of time working with staff. Christina Jacobs is on the line, having to do with easements. And if you recall, we've made a number of changes in the past to the general manager's authority as it relates to his ability to enter into easement agreements, dispose of real property in the context of the operations and maintenance of the water system. So this is a corresponding change that's being suggested to the board policies and procedures in the section under the general manager authority under real property. And in that section, there's three things right now that the general manager has the authority to do. And that is to grant easements with the fair market value of up to $100,000, to accept and acquire real property that is related to the maintenance and operation of the water system with the fair market value of up to $100,000, and to enter into license agreements for the use of real property of up to $100,000. So as we were encountering some of these situations, that benchmark was in place primarily because it related to the GM's authority under the purchasing policy. So we thought it would be a good idea to bring it to board and recommend that that amount be increased for those three items from $100,000 to $150,000 to sync up. But it's certainly a question for the board. I will say that those specific situations that I described are specific, and the board does still hold the general authority to dispose of real property, certainly when it comes to real property that has more significant value than that. And this section is primarily designed for, you know, when you're accepting and granting easements and property transactions in the context of some of our public works projects. That's all that I have.
President Martin, would you put up, would you turn on your microphone?
That'll be better, wouldn't it? Yes, thank you, Mr. Byrne. We have a public comment on item 6.2 before we proceed?
We do not.
Are there any questions or discussion from the board? Do we have a motion on item 6.2? I would entertain a motion. Director Marks. Motion by Director Marks.
I'll second.
Director Beth Bronstein. Second by Director Bronstein. Unless there's further discussion, Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Vice President Ozahowski.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. This item does pass.
Very good. Thank you. Let's move on to item 7, General Manager's Report on Activities, Projects, and Programs. Mr. Stone.
Okay. Well, welcome back, everybody, from a little bit of downtime, perhaps, for some during the holiday period. And good to be back and into 2024. A couple items to report on tonight. First, I just want to call attention to on our financial page on the website, we now do have the popular annual financial report up and running. It's a new document for us. It is an attempt to take the ACFR, which sounds like an insurance duck, the annual comprehensive financial report, which is a more of a dense financial document with lots of good stuff in it and narrative, and distill it down to about a 24-page, a more easily digested report, which also highlights some of the activities that have gone on during the year for the agency. So it's kind of a blend of what we're doing with your money and how we're how we're accounting for and taking care of customers' money that comes into the agency and is spent. I want to compliment our team that worked on that. We had a team that was beyond just the finance group with this report to try to make sure we got contributions on the different activities of the agency. So as acknowledged on the last page of that report, the team is our CFO, Rochelle Patterson, Chief Engineer Courtney, Director of Operations and Maintenance, Mike Albert, Controller Amy, Matt Dickens, our Sustainability Manager, Kevin Strauss, Communications Manager, Kathleen Wilson of Customer Service, Customer Care Manager, Kim Grass, Administrative Services Manager, Darian Connor, Senior Financial Analyst, Sarah Fleury, Senior Water Resources Planner, Laura Gallegos, Senior Public Affairs Specialist, Erica Dill, Management Analyst, too, and Paul Hoover, Administrative Technician, and sometimes MC of agency events, among other things. So it's really kind of a nice way to look at our activity through the financial lens while still seeing the activity itself. And appreciate the staff who took the time to get spend kind of on our wish list for a few years and finally had the time to really do it justice with this format. And I think it'll be something we try to maintain annually as we go. Also, as we look ahead to 2024, obviously new year, new water year. Today's snowpack reading was, I think, 30% of average for this time of year. Still early days as far as snowpack. We have a few more months to see what El Nino does or doesn't bring and how cold or warm that precipitation might be, and whether it translates to snowpack or just a lot of water sloshing around in the system and the rivers trying to be managed as it tries not to flood people. And that that is something that, you know, we get, certainly I know Kevin's working on a media inquiry on that today from the Signal, and we'll continue to try to be responsive with information on that, and updates for the Water Resource Committee and the board as the year progresses. I think we're in pretty good shape. We were, managed to put quite a bit of water back into our storage accounts this year and entered into some exchange agreements as well. So we're probably back in the position that even if we were unlucky and had a lot of misses from El Nino, which sometimes happens where everything ends up north of us, we should still be in pretty good shape this year, whatever the allocation is. But obviously we'd like the allocation to be at least 30%, so we're not pulling any water out of storage. That's kind of the benchmark. That seems to be the trigger for us. Also wanted to note that the Department of Water Resources did certify their EIR for the Delta Conveyance Project shortly before the end of this year, this past year. And so that continues to kind of move to the next steps. There will likely, about somewhere between March and June, I'm hearing there'll be an updated cost estimate for that project, as well as a cash flow projection. And we will be looking at making a determination of continued contribution or participation in that project at that time. So try to kind of telegraph to the board that that decision will be at some point coming before you this spring. As a reminder, the funding source for that is the statement of charges, and we do have funds accumulated in reserves to absorb that impact, in part because the project has gone more slowly than anticipated. So the first few years should not have any impact on the tax rate at all. And we should be able to fund our share of those costs. But anyway, all of the participating contractors will be, you know, assessing that information and making, refreshing their decision on participation or not. And we'll see where that leads for the project. Trying to think if there's anything else I want to hit. I've got something that Ollie sent me, but we'll save it for a future meeting. It's a video of some of the stuff I described in my last GM report about what the Center for Western Water and Weather Extremes is doing. And it's kind of a cool video. It shows imagery of some of the things I was trying to describe, like planes that drop sensors and things like that. So we'll, it's 4 or 5 minute video. We can share that at an upcoming meeting for you. And with that, I just wish everybody hopefully a happy, healthy, and prosperous new year.
Thank you, Mr. Stone, for that. We have any public comment, Madam Secretary, on Mr. Stone's report?
We do not.
All right. Before we continue with board discussion, I'll offer to invite Director Armitage, if she'd like to be the first to comment or question, so I don't forget her.
Thank you. I do have one quick question. The popular ACFR document, is that a requirement, or is that something that we're proactively offering?
I believe it's something we're proactively offering.
I think
Michelle is nodding in the back. Yes.
Okay. Well, I just want to say, I think that's wonderful and I appreciate that. And I will certainly take a look at that and share it out to the world as much as possible, because I think that's great. Thank you.
And yeah, it's on the financial page. It's hard to do, you know, hash or links or whatever through the verbal report, but I was able to find it readily tonight, just typing in SCV Water Popular Annual Financial Report, it popped right up.
Great, thanks.
Very good, thank you. Okay, we'll open up the rest of the board for comments or discussion. Anybody have any questions on the board? I don't see any. Thank you, Mr. Stone, for your report. We can move on to item 8, committee meeting recap report for informational purposes only. There's only one report in your packet tonight. Are there any public comments on the one report, Madam Secretary?
There is not.
Are there any questions or discussion from the board on the committee meeting report? Director Armitage, do you have any question on that?
No, thank you.
Very good. We can move to item 9, written reports for informational purposes only. There were 4 reports included in your packet as well as the committee planning calendar. Are there any public comments before we open it for board discussion?
There is not.
Very good. Are there any board questions on the written reports for informational purposes only? I'm looking for Director Armitage's hand, but I don't see it because I don't show the hands on my screen.
No, she does not have a comment. No.
Vice President Ozahowski.
I have a few questions. On item 9.2 and 9.3, let's start with 9.2 on page 145 in your board packet. We have a plot of repeat shutoffs, and right below it, we have the number of active participants in the agency's ratepayer assistance program, which stands at 495. Ms. Patterson, are any of those participants part of the, or were ever part of the repeat shutoff ratepayers? Okay. All right. And then next question is on page 140 of your board packet. So under key accomplishments, staff participated in the CARB TRIG meeting, first one. What were any significant comments made during that meeting or any significant observations, Ms. Patterson, that were shared with you? Put a microphone right next to your desk next time.
So just from what I heard is the first meeting was to go through the legislation that changed late last year. And they're trying to figure out how to implement it, and it's still going to take a while. So I think it's still ongoing.
What's the frequency of these meetings? Do we know?
That I don't know.
Okay. And you can just stay there for a minute. All right. Staff completed the first online auction for agency surplus vehicles and equipment for disposal. What were some of the, how much were we able to get for some of our vehicles?
That I know.
Okay.
A little over $8,000 for one vehicle and a little over $10,000 for the other vehicle at auction.
Oh, that's good. All right, thank you. And then on the next page, staff is gathering quotations to install new fencing in the parking area of the Rockefeller site. Just to refresh my memory, Ms. Patterson, have there been any incidences along that site where any of our employees or any passersby call the sheriff's deputy for assistance?
I don't believe we've called the sheriff. There have been some theft incidents at the Rockefeller location. There's a weird elevation at Rockefeller where the Rockefeller yard is a little bit lower than the neighboring yards. So it's easy to hop over, and then they just use our equipment to step on and hop back over. So we're trying to, we put some cameras up there to try to, to at least show that there's some presence with some voice, and we have a monitoring service that actually monitors a camera. We haven't had any issues since that camera has been installed, but we are raising that fence so we don't have that elevation issue.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And then my next question will be for TDOMs regarding the VFDs. I know that we're upgrading some of our wells with VFDs, wells number 7 and 7 and 8 and Songus well number 2. Just the general questions regarding VFD use for those pumps. If for whatever reasons we realize that we're bypassing VFDs or running them 100% and not really having any varying degree of loads, will those VFDs be placed on other pumps? Or are we for sure know that the loads will be very variable throughout the year? I guess Mr. Abercrombie's not here today. That's okay. I'll contact him directly. Back to you, President Martin.
Thank you, Director. Vice President Ozahosky, any other questions from the board on the informational item? Very good.
Can I? What's VFD?
Oh, it's a variable frequency drive. Some of the pumps just turn on and off, and these things will allow you to use less energy based on the current load for that particular pump.
Thank you. I was asking Director Peterson. He's like, no, just ask. I was like, okay.
No worries.
Yeah, hey, we all learned something today, right?
Thank you, Director Peterson.
Okay. All right, back to you, President Martin.
Any other questions from the board? Seeing none, we can move on to item 10, President's Report. A few update items for tonight. Outside of the agency conferences and events, the Santa Clarita Valley Chamber of Commerce 2024 Awards and Installation will be on February 2nd, 2024, 6 p.m. at the Hyatt Regency. The Urban Water Institute Spring Conference will be in Palm Springs on February 21 to 23, 2024. Please check your emails for additional events. Upcoming board meetings. The next board meeting will be January 16th in this boardroom at 6 p.m. There will be a special board meeting on February 5th, 2024 at 6 p.m., which will be ethics training for the board. Upcoming committee meetings held at Summit Circle and the EWS Boardroom at 5:30. January 4th, Engineering and Operations. January 10th, Water Resources and Watershed. And the January 18th, 2024 Public Outreach and Legislation Committee meeting. Upcoming committee meetings at Rio Vista in the boardroom at 5:30. The January 15th Finance and Administration Committee meeting was moved to January 22, 2024. Some additional information for the board. The agency will be closed on January 15, 2024 in observance of Martin Luther King Day. We will be adjourning tonight's meeting in memory of my brother-in-law, David L. Brown, who passed recently. Thank you very much to our board secretary for putting this on the agenda. Are there any public comment or board questions on the report?
There is not.
Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll move to AB 1234 reports. Are there any AB 1234 reports tonight? Wow, I'll be the only one. On December 20 and 21, I attended the Urban Water Institute strategic planning workshop in San Diego. The focus of the discussion was on the core functions of the Institute, which are goals, audiences, and activities. It was a facilitated workshop, very active, and I think there were some good suggestions, and we'll be hearing more from our facilitator at future meetings. My question, I think one of the major input items is how best do we serve our membership of the Urban Water Institute? And that prompted a lot of discussion. So that is my report for tonight. There are no other AB 1234 reports. Are there any public comments, Madam Secretary?
There is not.
All right, we go to item 12, director reports. Are there any director reports tonight? Seeing none, we can go.
President Martin, Director Armitage has
I apologize, Director Armitage.
That's okay. No, I just very briefly want to wish everybody a happy and healthy 2024. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you. And we wish you quick recovery from what you're suffering from at the moment.
Thank you.
No other discussion, no public comment. Are there any public comment on the director report?
There is not.
Thank you very much. Item 13, director request for approval for event attendance. Are there any requests for event attendance tonight? Vice President Ozahosky.
The Santa Clarita Valley Chamber of Commerce will be hosting a 2024 employment law update on January 18th at COC. So therefore, I request for approval for this event attendance for myself and any other director on the board.
A Vice President Zohofsky, that is one of our approved events already, so you don't need approval.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. I take it back. Back to you, President Martin.
Pre-approved, yes. Any other requests for event attendance? Seeing none, there's nothing for the public to comment on. So we will move to adjournment, and I'll pass it to Vice President Zohofsky to adjourn our meeting tonight.
This meeting will be adjourned in memory of President Martin's brother-in-law, David L. Brown, who recently passed away. And I'll go ahead and read the memoriam. On January 2nd, 2024, the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency Board of Directors adjourned its regular board meeting in memory of your loved one. The agency extends its deepest sympathy and sincerest condolences to you and your family, President Martin. And with that, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you very much, April. Thank you, Board.
Thank you.